Amen. The fundamental tenet to Christianity is the concept that Jesus alone is Lord, and that He is the only way to God, and that through Him we may have eternal life. And for no other reason than believing that statement and making that statement and living that statement around the world in 52 countries, people are at odds with their authorities. They're at odds with their culture, and they are persecuted. This morning I want to talk to you about fellowship, and I'm going to have to do this real fast. I want to talk to you about fellowship and enlarging your concept of fellowship. We talk about the church, First Baptist Church of Fairborn, and we are the church, the local representation of the First Baptist Church here in Fairborn. But around the world, there is only one church. There's not the church in America, the church in Iran, the church in Bangladesh. There is one church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many local expressions of that church around the world. And one of the things I want us to get our hands around, our minds around, our hearts around this morning is that because our brothers and sisters are not in this location does not make them any less our brothers and sisters. Their fellowship with us is the fellowship that's based on the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so very quickly, we're going to look at that this morning. Would you pray with me? Father and God, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for the privilege of Your word. Thank You for the power of the video that we've seen and the reminder that around the world this morning, as we are preaching, as we are proclaiming the good news in freedom, there are those who proclaim them in bonds. Father, may You just bless them this morning, and may we learn how to identify with them in spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. When we think of the concept of fellowship, I want to give you some background to the idea. The word koinonia literally had the basic idea of partnering with someone, of having same goals, same heart, same direction. You would partner with them and you would be perceived as being in fellowship with that person. But as it came to be used in the Greco-Roman world, and particularly in the context of the New Testament, the nuance of the meaning came something very different. For in 19 times in the New Testament, this concept is used to talk about the family, the people of God. Through its use, it conveys the idea of oneness of community, oneness of spirit, having something unique and common together and participating in a common thing or life. And so the metaphor of the fellowship then is the idea that there is something that is greater than just the everyday, ordinary realm of life that causes me to be in a relationship with you and you with me and us with God than we otherwise would experience. And so I'm going to talk to you about there's two basic ideas of fellowship in the New Testament, and one hinges on the other. There is the vertical fellowship that we have with God, and then because of that vertical fellowship with God, there is horizontal fellowship with all of God's children. And so you can see it in John's writings in 1 John that clearly spells this out. The first reality is that our heavenly fellowship is based on the acceptance of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2. It says, "The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life was with the Father and was manifested to us." How was life manifested? The word manifested is the idea of shining forth, of bringing forth something. The Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus Himself speaking says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through the Son." That life was manifested. The life of God was manifested personally and perfectly in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no life apart from Jesus Christ. And what makes the Christian religion so scandalous in the world today is the person and work of Jesus Christ. Christians are not persecuted because they're weird or because they're different or they look strange. That's only in America. People are, yeah, it was a joke, folks, lighten up, okay? People around the world are persecuted because they say the truth of the Bible is there is no way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Islam will not tolerate that. Secular humanist regimes, atheistic regimes, will not tolerate that. Buddhist and Hindu regimes cannot tolerate that because it stares right in the face of their core beliefs. And this morning, we have brothers and sisters around the world who are being persecuted because they are following the basic fundamental truth that life is in Jesus Christ, and apart from Him, there is no life, not any eternal life. And may I just use this, it sounds bad in English, but it's great in Greek. It ain't possible. In Him was life, and apart from Him, there is no possibility of life existing. But secondly, biblical fellowship is an expression of a relationship between the Father and the Son and His people. Listen to verses 3 and 4 again. That we who have seen, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, we declare to you that you might have fellowship with us. How are you going to have fellowship with us? Because truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have many differences culturally, linguistically, ethnically from our brothers and sisters around the world. But this one thing we have in common, we have this thing in common. We are children of God through Jesus Christ. It is the most amazing thing. How many of you have brothers and sisters? Okay? How many have brothers and sisters you'll claim right away? Fewer hands, okay? I understand. I'm part of that too. You know, the most unique thing about brothers and sisters is whether it's through adoption or whether it's through birth. What makes you brother and sister is that you have the same parent, the same set of parents. You may be different as daylight and dark, personality-wise, different as daylight and dark in your pursuits, but you are brother and sister because of your parents. And see, in the ancient world, and even in some countries today, the most intimate relationship a person has is not husband to wife or parent to child. It's brother to sister because they share the same parent. In the world, even today in the ancient Near East, the strongest bond and oftentimes will be between brother and sister, blood siblings, because they have the same parent. And even though a sister may be married to another man, her brother will be her main protector should she be injured or should she be harmed in any way, and vice versa. And so John is picking up that theme and he's saying, the closest thing you have is not your earthly family. The closest relation you have is with your brother and sister in Christ because of who your parents are, who your parent is, if you will. Your Father in heaven is the parent that you share through Jesus Christ the Son. So when we think about the persecuted church, we're not thinking about people over there somewhere. We're thinking about brothers and sisters. We're thinking about Padine, who is my sister because of my father. We're thinking about those who are in chains, not as having the bad luck to be born in the wrong country, but my brother and my sister because of my father. So biblical fellowship is also the basis for our joy in Christ. Look at what it says in verse 4. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full, that your joy may be complete. When you're being persecuted, one of the things we heard last night and we read, that one of the things that brings joy to the church around the world that is undergoing persecution is knowing they are not alone. Knowing that they have brothers and sisters around the world who are praying for them, who are lifting them up before the throne of grace. They have joy in the midst of suffering because they know they're not alone. And that is what John is saying. He's saying we have this life. We have eternal life in Jesus Christ. We have the same parent. And so therefore our joy may, as we minister to one another, our joy may be made full in that fellowship that we have with our Father in the, through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. John Stott said, this statement of the apostolic objective in the proclamation of the gospel, namely a human fellowship arising spontaneously from a divine fellowship, is a rebuke to much of our modern evangelism and church life. We can no longer be content with an evangelism that does not lead to the drawing of converts into the church, nor with a church life whose principle of cohesion is a superficial social camaraderie instead of a spiritual fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. The spiritual pattern then, the biblical pattern of fellowship is this: believe in the Lord Jesus and you have fellowship with God. And because you have fellowship with God, you have fellowship with one another. And then your joy, the joy of one, becomes the joy of all. This morning, we ought to be committed daily to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Which leads me to the second expression. I want to do this very quickly. Fellowship is an ongoing expression of horizontal reality that comes from the vertical reality. I want to give you three false beliefs that'll keep you from fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters around the world and praying for them. And here as well. First, it is the false belief that you can profess something and not possess something. That you can talk about it, but you don't have to walk it. Listen to what verse 6 says. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk around in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Do not practice what is true. The Bible commands us that we are to pray for one another. The Bible commands us that we are to lift our brothers and sisters up in chains. The Bible commands us that we ought to remember those and partake of the fellowship of suffering with our brothers and sisters. If we say that we have a God as our Father and they're our brothers and sisters and we do not pray for them and we do not care for them and we do not have a burden for them, then we lie and walk in darkness and we are not practicing the truth we claim to believe. And when you consistently profess something that you don't possess, it will destroy any concept of fellowship. It's like Charlie Brown. I love Charlie Brown. He can read a lot of good theology in Peanuts. He's sitting in front of Lucy, and you know it's been a bad day when Charlie Brown talks to Lucy about anything. And he's really down in the dumps. And she's talking to him, and of course, every time he talks to Lucy, he gets a little worse. But he's talking about people. He says, I just have difficulty with people, Lucy. What am I supposed to do? And she, you know, begins to give him this big lecture on the bigness of people and everything. And he says, listen, I have no problem with people. It's just humanity I have difficulty with. We have the same way. It's fellowship we don't have a problem with. It's just people we can't deal with. And beloved, that's just wrong. You know, I shared this the first service, and I'm gonna just cut the message like baloney. We're gonna cut it off here. Last night I had the privilege of being here and praying, and you have to understand something. You cut me, I bleed red, and if you wait a while, I'll get blue and white in there somewhere. I was born and raised in a place that reveres this country, and I came of age in 1976, and I still remember vividly the storming of the embassy in Tehran. I remember sitting up night after night watching Nightline, furious. And last night, only God has this kind of ability. One of the nations I was given to pray for was Iran. Now, I don't want to pray for Iran. I want to pray for my brothers and sisters in Iran, but I didn't want to pray for Iran. In fact, here's sort of kind of what my prayer life for just a moment felt like. God, take care of my brothers and sisters, and if you feel like nuking the rest of it, we're okay with that. I say that because here's the problem. Oftentimes, we let our perspectives be so American, they cease being biblical. We don't pray for countries and the people who are being persecuted because of the way they feel about this nation. That is irrelevant, brothers and sisters. It is irrelevant what the governments feel about each other. We are called to pray for our brothers and sisters. And if praying for Ahmadinejad, that's tough for me to say, but if you're praying somehow that God would bring about the lessening of persecution of my brothers and sisters for praying for him, I will do that because God wants me to enter into their world. I want to give you two things and we'll finish. If our fellowship is with God and it is with each other and these are our brothers and sisters, then we cannot sin against God by not praying for them. This morning, invitation time, I want to give you a challenge. On the Lord's table, now it's on the Lord's table for a reason. For on the Lord's table, we are reminded the price God paid that we might have fellowship with Him. There are nations and information about the persecuted church around the world. During the invitation time, I'm going to challenge you, but don't do this unless you mean it. I'm going to challenge you to come and take a card, at least one. More than one's fine, but at least one. And to say between you and God as an act of covenant grace that you will pray daily for the believers in that country and for their chains and their persecution that they might A, be God's witnesses, and B, that God would make it possible for them to one day worship in freedom. How many of you would love to see your brothers and sisters around the world this morning? To be able to come into a home or come into a place of worship like this and not fear that someone's going to come in the back door and arrest them. How many of you this morning would love to see your brothers and sisters be able to take their children to church without fear of having them being taken away? How many of you would love to worship, see your brothers and sisters being able to worship without fear that your husband could lose his life or lose his job or that your children could be taken away from you? How many of you as believers this morning would say, I would love to see that? Then the question is, how many of you will pray for that? How many of you will covenant with God this morning to pray with that? I'm wearing a wristband that looks like barbed wire. And on it, it just simply says, one with them. And if you covenant to do that, and you are willing to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, what I'm going to ask you to do is to come and take a card, and Debbie Davoli will be down here, and if you want one of these as a prayer reminder to wear on your wrist, then she has them. But don't take one unless you're going to pray. You don't have to take one to pray, but it is a reminder. And one of the things is, when you wear them, God does use it to allow you to talk to people about why you're wearing it. So I'm going to ask us to stand. We're going to go into a spirit of prayer before the Lord. And then as the Lord leads, I'm going to ask you to come. Now there's something we're going to do at the end. When we're finished, I'm going to ask all of you who've taken a card to just stay down front. And there's a reason for this. And we're going to hold up either our card or our arms where the bracelets can be seen. And there's going to be a photograph made. And this will be posted as an encouragement to our brothers and sisters around the world who are being persecuted, where they can go online and see that their brothers and sisters in the West, in the free West, are praying for them and interceding for them and are one with them in the Lord. Father and God, this is an invitation for us to honor you by remembering those who are in prison this morning, by remembering in prayer those countries that the enemy has deep in the grip of spiritual bondage. Father, one thing I've learned is that truth need not fear error. But oh, Father, I am so convinced that error is so afraid of truth. And so the enemy fights every way and everything in his arsenal and disposal to prevent the truth of the light of God from coming into these countries. Father, we lift up our brothers and sisters now in this invitation time. Father, glorify yourself in it. Lay the burden of praying on your people's hearts. In Jesus' name, as we sing.